Good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Vav. We are up to the Gemara, or where it says Gemara, on Kuf Samach Hamid Beis. The Mishnah taught us a series of principles about documents. Number one, that if a document has contradictory language, we only carry out the smaller amount that the document might be referring to. We learned that if a document has words erased from it, so then we'll have to take the smallest possible definition of the words that are left. And we learned that if there is a straight contradiction between something at the top of the document and something at the end of the document, we assume that what was going on was that the person was changing his mind, and what's at the end of the document is what matters. So you might ask, so then what's the point of having a top of the document if we're not going to pay attention to it? We're only going to pay attention to the end. The answer is that let's say something was erased on the end, you know, a bit of a name, one of the letters was erased from the end. If you have the full name on the top, you could fill in that letter that was erased from what you see on the top. Okay, that was the Mishnah. So now the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu Lidin Abraisa. Amar, let's say you have a document that says that Reuven owes kesef, owes silver to Shimon. So what is that? So ein pachos midinar kesef. That means that Reuven owes at least a dinar. A dinar was a coin. A dinar-sized coin of silver to Shimon. Let's say it says in the document that Reuven owes kesef dinarin, silver dinars, or dinarin kesef, dinars of silver. So dinarin, plural, ein pachas mishnei dinarin kesef. That means he owes at least two dinarim of kesef. Let's say it says, though, in the document, he owes kesef, he owes silver bidinarin. In dinars. So what does that mean? Ein pachas mi b'shnei dinarim dahav kesef. That means he owes silver that is worth two dinarin of gold. So the amount of silver that's worth two dinarim of gold. Because he said in the document, kesef, silver, bidinarin, in dinars. So what does it mean? Silver in dinars? Silver that's worth two dinars of gold.
You mean the same amount of silver? So it could be a lot of silver. Because
yeah, a lot of silver, which is what? Which is worth two dinars of gold. All right, that's the Brisa. So the Brisa said three laws, three examples. So Amar Mar, we just learned. Kesef. If the document says that Reuven owes Kesef, ein pachas mi dinar kesef. It can't be less than owing a dinar of kesef. Ve'emanaska, why don't you say it means that Reuven just owes a bar of silver? Why even coins? So Amr Belazar, d'ksuv b'matbea. We're saying in this document that Reuven owes coins of kesef. So once it said coins, so it has to be a denomination of some sort. It's a dinar. Vema priti, maybe it's less than the dinar, maybe it's an isar, maybe it's a pruta. Rav Papa said, ba'aser, talking about a place, losagi priti to kaspa. They never make coins smaller than a dinar out of silver. They don't make prutos out of silver. So you can't assume that when it says kesef, it might mean, you know, a smaller coin than a dinar. All right, so that's the first brisa where the shtar said silver. Tanu Rabbanu Lidin Abraisa. What happens if the shtar says gold? Dahav. The shtar says Reuven owes gold to Shimon. So what does it mean? Ein pachos mi dinar dahav. That means Reuven owes at least a dinar of gold to Shimon. If the shtar said dahav dinarin or dinarim dahav. Gold coins or coins of gold. So once it said coins, dinarin, ein pachos mishnei dinarim dahav. That means that at least he owes two coins, two dinars of gold.
Why did you not put the exact amount there?
If somebody didn't do it, that's the case. That's the question.
That's your question.
What happens if somebody wrote in the shtar, Dahav bidinarin, Ruvain owes gold in dinars? So we said before that if the whole thing was silver, and he said, you know, gold in dinarim, it meant, kesef bidinarim would mean silver equal to the weight of 2 dinars of gold, or equal to 2 dinars of gold in value. So what happens if he says, dahab bidinarim? That means mishnei dinarin kesef tahav. That means he has to give him gold equal to 2 dinars of silver.
So, is it either his conversion of silver?
He has to give him gold equal to 2 dinars of silver. So in pachas mivishnei dinarim kesef tahav, he has to give gold that's not less than 2 dinarim of silver. All right. So Amar Mar, we just learned in this brisa, tahav, if the IOU just says Reuven owes gold, in pachas mi dinar tahav. So then Reuven has to pay. What's the minimum? He has to pay a dinar of gold. Emanaska, why do you say he has to pay a dinar? Maybe it just means, you know, plain chips of gold, or bars of gold, or plates of gold, without anything engraved on them, without any denomination. Amar Belazar, Belazar answered the kasav matbeah, where the star didn't just say gold, it said a coin of gold. Ema priti, so maybe it means something less than a dinar, it means the smaller denominations. Answered the Gemara, priti didava lo avdi inchi, people don't make smaller denominations than dinars out of gold. Then the Braisa said, if what's written in the shtar is coins that are zahav bidinarim, or it said, didn't say coins, it said zahav, gold bidinarim, gold in dinars, ein pachos mi b'shnei dinarim kesef zahav, that means he has to give gold equal in weight to 2 dinars kesef. Ve'ema da'ava pricha b'trei dinri da'ava kamar. Why don't you say it means he has to give chips of gold that are equal to 2 dinars of gold? So Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, Yad balashtar latachtona. The person who's coming with the document, who's trying to collect, he doesn't have the money in his hand. The other guy has the money. He has the document. He's trying to collect the money from the one who has the money. So it's a motzim echaver olav araya. Whenever someone's trying to take money out of his friend's domain, he's trying to extract money, he needs to prove that he's right. So therefore, we always assume the smallest possible meaning or the most minimal meaning to what's in the document. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ihachi, if this is the case, this is changed by what's on the side, the Gilyon. If this is the case, Reisha Nami. So then in the beginning, the first Braisa, which talked about silver, also, why did when the Braisa says that Kesef Bedinarim, if that's the language in the document, kesef in dinars, it means 2 dinars worth of gold, silver equal to 2 dinars worth of gold. Why don't you say it means silver equal to 2 dinars worth of silver? So Amar Rav Ashi answered like this. Reisha d'chsiv dinare, seifa d'chsiv dinarin. There is a concept in Hebrew called a nismach. Sometimes you can have one word modifying the next. It really becomes an adjective about another word. So for example, dinrei kesef means coins of silver. Coins of, by the word dinrei, or reshit malchuto, the beginning of his rule. The word of has to be added to a nismach when you have two nouns next to each other. One is describing the next. So the normal, what's most usual is that people use dinarim of silver. That's the normal dinar is a dinar of silver. Most of the dinarim are dinar of silver. So that's why if a Mishnah or a Brisa says dinarin, right away you think a dinar of silver. But if it's a nismach, if it's dinrei, the dinars of, so dinar, why would you say dinars of? Just say dinarim. So if you say dinars of, that's to say already the dinars of gold, not the dinars of silver. Because if you meant dinars of silver, you'd use the word dinarim, dinars. You wouldn't have to attach it to anything else. So that's the answer here. The first price that said that when based on the language in the document, the man has to pay silver equal to 2 dinars of gold. That's because what it said in the document was kesef dinarei, silver bidinarei, silver in dinar, in dinars of. So when it says silver in dinars of, it must mean silver in dinars of gold. The second price that said he has to give gold equal to 2 dinars of silver, it's because he said gold in dinarin. He didn't say gold in dinars of. It said gold in dinars. So gold in dinars means gold equal to 2 dinars of silver, because the word dinarin, dinars, refers to dinars of silver. So what emerges is that there is a difference in rabbinic Hebrew between dinarei and dinarin. Dinarei, which we would translate as dinars of, means dinars of gold. Dinarin, just the plain dinars, that's dinars of silver, because the norm was dinars of silver. So therefore, if in a document somebody wrote silver in dinarei, so that meant silver equal to 2 dinars of gold. But if he said gold in dinarin, that means gold equal to 2 dinars of silver.
So that's the difference between, what's the name here? It's silver dinari? No, dinari silver and silver dinari. What's the difference between them, Rabbi?
No, there he said explicitly it was silver.
They're both the same?
There it's silver, because he said it was silver. We're saying that the word dinare would mean gold. Dinarin would mean silver. If you didn't mention the type, just the word dinare versus dinarin.
Currency of Babel, right?
And in Israel.
And it was in Israel?
Yeah. Ravashi, again, Ravashi answered, Reisha in the first Brisa, the Kasav, where he wrote in the IOU, dinarei. He wrote silver in dinars of. Seifa d'chsev dinarin. He said silver in dinars. So silver in dinars of means silver in dinars of gold. Silver in dinars means, I'm sorry, gold in dinars means gold in silver dinars, equal to the weight of silver dinars. Umina Temran, how do I know the shani ben dinari le dinarin? What's another proof? That if a person said dinars of, it means gold. But dinarin means silver dinars. How do I know there's a difference between dinare and dinarin? The Tanya, it's based on a braisa in Masechet Krisos. In Tractate Krisus, we're going to Bezrat Hashem learn that there are all sorts of situations where there's something called Karban Olevi Yored, a more expensive or cheaper Karban depending on the person bringing. If the person's wealthy, he has to bring the more expensive Karban. If he is poorer, he brings the cheaper Karban. So for example, let's say a woman had a birth. So a Yoledet, she's supposed to bring a sheep as a carbon ola and a bird as a carbon chatas. Now, if she can't afford, so then she brings 2 birds. One bird as a chatas, as a sin offering, one bird as an ola, as a whole offering, and that's called a kan, a nest. She needs to bring a nest because she needs to bring 2 birds. Now, if she didn't bring her carbon, since she gave birth, she was tamei, and she's not allowed to eat carbonos. Now there's also something called Tumas Ziva. If a woman bleeds 3 days in a row in a certain time of the month, so then she becomes a Zava, And a Zava also, after 7 clean days, is only able to become pure and be able to eat from Korbanos once she brings 2 birds. Now, there were all sorts of situations where there was a suffix. Let's say a woman had been a little bit bigger than usual. She wasn't sure if she was pregnant. And then, you know, something came out of her. She's not sure if it was a miscarriage, that she's a Yoledes, or maybe it's just, I don't know, flatulence or something else. So there's a situation of her being a suffix whether she has to bring these 2 birds. It's a doubt whether she has to bring these 2 birds. Or a woman who has blood, but she's not sure if the blood is during the part of the month that would make her a Zava, or during the part of the month that would make her a Nida. So she's not sure if she needs to bring these 2 birds. So again, when we're not sure, so then we have a little bit of a problem. We're going to bring the carbon, but we're not sure really if it had to be brought. So we're not sure if it's permissible to be eaten. So it's going to be brought, and then the chatas part is going to be burnt.
She's the wife of a Kohen or the daughter of a Kohen?
No, anybody.
Anybody?
Anyone. Uh-huh. Okay, so now, we learned here in Krisus. Ha'isha shahayu alea safek chamesh leidos. A woman who has the following situation. She had 5 possible births. She gave, you know, she had something come out of her, and then waited a bit, again something come out of her. And she never brought a carbon each of these 5 times. Safek chamesh zivos. She had 5 situations of maybe being a zava and never brought a carbon. So now she can't eat kachim. She can't eat the holy meat. Mevia carbon echad. So once she brings 1 set of 2 birds, 1 nest, so 1 can, you know, work for 5 obligations. Vocheles bezvachim. And now she can eat karbanos. Now, since we really have a problem here with these sacrifices, because we're not going to be able to eat them because maybe they weren't obligated, so we don't even make her bring the other 4. Since the goal of permitting her is achieved with 1, we say don't even bring the other 4. Okay, that's when there's a situation of suffix. Chova, hayu alea chamesh leidos vados, but let's say she gave birth 5 times, and we know it was births. There's a certainty of 5 births. And she hasn't yet brought the carbon to permit herself to eat meat of karbanos, to eat consecrated meat. Or she had chamesh zivos vados, she had 5 times where she was certainly a zava, and she hasn't yet brought the carbon to permit her to eat the meat. Mevia carbon echad. So then again, she brings 1 carbon, 2 birds. Vocheles bizvachim. And through that, she becomes permitted to eat the consecrated meat. Vashar aleha chova. And now the other 4 times is still obligated on her. She still needs to bring another 4 sets of 2 birds. Okay. Masa, there was a story. In Jerusalem, there were lots of people who had to buy these nests of 2 birds. A zava, a woman had given birth. So the salespeople in Jerusalem raised the prices. So lots of people need it. There's a lot of demand, so we're going to charge a lot. So for every nest of 2 birds, they were charging dinarei. Dinarei, what did we just say? Dinri means dinar zav. Dinar zav means dinars of gold. So they were charging dinars of gold. 2 dinars of gold for a nest of 2 birds.
Wise guys.
Wise guys.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult.
So it was cheaper for her to buy a cow instead of
5 Right. So it's getting very expensive. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, right? Because the nests were causing two gold coins. So Shimon ben Gamliel said he was the last Nasi of the Sanhedrin at the time of the loss of the Second Temple. So he swore. He said, "Hamaonase, I swear by this residence. I swear by the temple. Imalina Laila, I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. At Yubedinarin." Until the price of the nests goes down to dinars.
Uh-huh.
To a dinar of silver. So how could he do it? So Rashi tells us in Masechet Prisus, there's a verse in Tehillim, Eis lasos l'Hashem. Sometimes there's a time to do for God. And when you have to do for God, Eferu Torah Secha, you even have to go against the Torah to do for God. So here, there's a real crisis. The prices are so high, the poor women, they're going to give up. They're going to say they can't afford it. And then they're going to end up eating holy things, even though they're not pure enough to be able to eat the holy things. They're just going to stop fulfilling the law. So he said like this, Nichnas lebezdin, he walked into the court of Eliman, and he taught the following new law. A woman who has given birth five times and has yet to bring her sacrifices, or chamesh zivos vadaos, or she certainly has had five bleedings that have made her into a zava, and she hasn't brought her sacrifices to be able to be pure enough for the sanctuary, maybe a carbon echad, all she has to bring is one set of two birds. And that knocks out not just the five possible situations, but the five certain situations. She doesn't have to bring the rest. So he suddenly reduced the demand. So then the nest dropped in price to a quarter of a dinar.
Wasn't there a
etrogan went up very expensive?
Similar
ways of dealing with it.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, this giving birth, is it a ratio of every five birth or
no? Every birth, every birth required.
I know, but if she had seven,
she chose not to do it.
So one time is enough for seven, two, seven?
That was the skiddush of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. He said one time will knock out all the obligations, and you don't have to give, you don't have to make it up. And that's not really the halacha. He just said it to be able to knock down the prices. The reason why we quoted this was just because of the words dinare versus dinrin. Where in this discussion of this problem, it said dinare zahav, dinars of gold, versus he wanted it to go down to dinarin, clearly didn't mean, again, dinars of gold, that was what it was at. He wanted to go to dinars of silver. So you see that dinarin means dinars of silver, and dinare means dinars of gold.
But Rabbi, Rin in the beginning was supposed to, after one incident, bring the birds, is that right? Or it was only after the...
Yeah, after every incident you should be bringing the birds. What happens when a person doesn't?
How does it get up to five? Is it because...
The person didn't. The person had incident after incident. It just didn't bring the birds. And now there are five obligations on the person. So we began by saying if the five obligations are all based on doubts, so then bring one set of birds and don't bring the others, because what are you going to do with the others? You're going to have to burn them. We don't want to increase the amounts of sacrifices that get burnt because it's only a doubt. But if there are five certain incidents where for sure there's obligations, when there are five obligations, so then you have to bring five sets of birds. So people thought they had to bring five sets of birds sometimes, so there was a lot of demand. So other people took advantage and raised the prices. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, you know what, I'm going to reduce the demand. I'm going to say that even when there's an obligation of five sets of birds with certainty, so, you know what? You only bring one set of birds and that's it. You don't have to make anything up.
So five is sort of arbitrary. It could have been three, six.
Yeah, whatever people chose not to do.
The prices went down, did he reverse the ruling?
The prices, did he? Yeah.
Yeah, it went down. A
couple months later, he reversed the ruling. Yeah, question.
Sorry, but in the Safek, if they say, okay, to bring one, if I'm looking to it like Al-Khot Shabbat, because this was like she knew about this five times. Why are you not following that you have to give on each one of them? And B, if already they agree that even she knew about that and she'll bring one, what I need in the Gemara to tell me, even if she, the Safek, she'll give one. So
we have a rule. That's eight lasot lashem eferu Torah secha. Sometimes to do for God, we can go against the Torah. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel went against the Torah, and he said, just bring one set. You don't have to bring all five that you normally have to bring, because I need to reduce the prices to make sure that other people are still able. Yeah, but that wasn't the issue here.
Rabbi, this dinarim came from you know, the Sofer being a wise guy and all this then, or how do you get into, you know, Shtar, this thing?
That's what's in the shtar. So if what's in the shtar is dinarei, it means dinars of gold. What's in the shtar is dinarin, it means dinars of silver. So the Mishnah said that if you have in a shtar one clause at the top of the shtar and another clause at the end of the shtar, the clause that matters is the clause that's at the end of the shtar. So then the Mishnah said, so then why do you even need a top if you're not going to pay attention to it? So the answer is, if you're missing a letter in the bottom, you can add in that letter based on what you find in the top. So Tana Rav Anan Hodin Raisa, Yomar Atachton Min HaElyon Bo'os Achas. You can add one letter from the top to the bottom. Avalo B'Shtei Osios. But if you need to add two letters, then you can't do so. So for example, Kagon Hanan Me Hanani. Let's say at the top of the shtar it said that Hanani borrowed the money. And towards the bottom there's a reference to the guy who borrowed it, said it was Hanan. So we say, 1 second, what probably happened on the bottom also was written the word Hanani. One letter got erased, so we can take that letter that was on the top and say it's there in the bottom too. It's still an okay shtar. It's not that it's a new person, Hanan. We assume it's still Hanani. Or we do, but what we're saying is, while we follow the bottom, if there's just one, there's a one-letter discrepancy between the top and the bottom, we assume that that top, we can take the letter from the top to the bottom. We assume that that's what happens, just one letter got erased. So similarly, if you have on the bottom the word, the name Anan, and on the top you have the name Anani, so again we assume one letter got erased, the letter Yud, and we'll take the Yud from Anani to have the bottom also being Anani and not just Anan. So the Gemara now asks, Maishna Shtei Osios Delo. So why two letters do we not take? So maybe the reason is like this. We set the following policy. Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Arba Osios. Because maybe you'll have a situation of a name of four letters. V'havale palga d'shma, and we're now replacing half the name based on, you know, learning up or interpreting, reading carefully the document. That you can't do. So Gemara says, Yachi, if that's the case, osachas nami. So then even one letter shouldn't be a good. Because Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Shtei Osios. Maybe we're talking about a two-letter name. Then you're going to end up replacing half the name when you replace the sink, when you supplement with one letter. So my answer is like this. The reason why two letters is not a problem. I'm sorry, the reason why two letters is a problem. Because maybe you'll have a situation of a name of three letters. In the top it'll have all three letters. In the bottom it'll only have one letter. And here we're taking the majority of the name from somewhere else, not from what's written here. So that's a problem. So therefore they said never two letters, because two letters could be a majority of a name. But to take one letter from the top and put it in, one letter can never be the majority of a name. It can only be half the name, but half would be all right. All right. I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa now said, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, let's say in the top of a document, not a document of a loan, but a document of a deposit. The top of the document said that what was deposited was a seifel, a cup, milmala. And on the bottom of the document says what was deposited was keifel. So the word keifel is spelled very similar to the word seifel. There's only a difference between the leg. So instead of seifel, instead of a cup, it becomes keifel. That which is folded becomes clothing. So the top says that what was deposited was a cup. The bottom says what was deposited was a fold, namely clothing. Then we say that what was deposited was folded clothing. By Rav Papa, Rav Papa asked, "Kefil milmala v'sefil milmata." What happens if what it says on the top of the document is that what was deposited with my friend to watch was something folded? It says on the bottom is seifel. Now, the seifel is really, it's a cup, but the difference between a samach and a kuf is not that far, right? It could just be that really it was trying to make a kuf and the ink smudged, and it ends up becoming a samach, and the leg got rubbed, the bottom of the leg got rubbed off. So then, so maybe we should say that since at the top it says Seifel, and it says on the bottom, I'm sorry, since at the top it said Kefel, on the bottom it says Seifel, maybe the bottom also meant Kefel, it also meant clothing. So Michai Shinan Luzvuv, are we worried that maybe a fly came and it smudged the dirt? Hello, well, we're not worried about flies. And we just take what it says at the bottom. Seifel. Teku, we don't know the answer to this question. Okay, a story. Ahuda v'ksivbe shismeya v'zuza. There was a document that said he owes 600 and a zuz. Shalcha Rav Shravya kameid Abaye. So Rav Shravya sent this in front of Abaye. So what does it mean? Does it mean Shismeya Istra Vizuza, 600 Slaim, which each cell is worth 25 Zuz, and the single Zuz? Or maybe Shismeya Pruta Vizuza, 600 Prutos, and one Zuz? Amalei, so Abaye said to him, Dal Priti. Don't think, oh, maybe it's 600 Prutos and a Zuz, because they wouldn't write that. Dasuke Maskin Lahu. If there were 600 prutos, you would add them together, umashvilu zuzah, and make it into zuzin, because each zuz is 192 prutos. So now, maya baya, my amit, what are you thinking of? Maybe it's shismeya istri v'zuzah. Maybe it's 600 slime in a zuz, or maybe it's less, because each cell has 25 zuzin. Maybe it's 600 zuzin in one zuz. So Yad Balashtar Latzachton, again, the guy with the document, he's at a disadvantage. He doesn't have the money. He's trying to extract the money. So he's trying to extract the money. We take it to have the most minimal meaning, as we learned in the Mishnah. The most minimal meaning would be 600 zuz and a zuz, not 600 slaim and a zuz.